Hey everybody, before we get started, I do have a small message from one of our fellow podcasters.
Hey, don't hit that skip button. Yeah, this is the ad section, and you want to get back to the awesome podcast you were just listening to, but here's the deal. This awesome podcast has given me a quick time slot to pitch you my awesome podcast, Black Flare. We are a tabletop RPG actual play podcast using the Delta Green gaming system. It's like we're playing Dungeons & Dragons, but in place of fantasy, it's more akin to the X-Files or True Detective. Our players take the role of a secret team tasked with investigating and combating otherworldly horrors. If you like audio dramas, tabletop gaming, suspense, and a bit of horror, I think you should give Black Flare a listen. All right, thanks for sticking through my pitch. Happy listening.
They've also made a fairly cool little thing. Check it out.
There's a new dice roller on the market, the Sat Dice. We've been hard at work designing a brand new electronic dice roller styled as a miniature facsimile of a 90s-era satellite phone, complete with a functional light-up numpad and 1-inch OLED display. We've programmed it to handle pretty much any dice rolling you might encounter, such as simultaneously rolling multiple dice, multiple types of dice, positive and negative modifiers, crits, and more. If you can type it in, the Sat Dice can roll it, and even save it as a preset. AAA batteries are included, so what are you waiting for? Check out the Sat Dice at blackflarepod.com or find it on our Etsy.
So, if you get a chance, give them a listen. Thank you very much, and back to our show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Big Campaign Stories. I'm Jeff, your airship captain and GM. But before we get started, let's get some lightsaber check. Jesse!
Hi everybody, I'm Jesse. I play Oswald, the level 5 Inquisitor, and I got an 18. Sean!
Hey, this is Sean. I play Forrest, the level 8 Shifter, and I got an 11. Marshall.
Hey, this is Marshall. I play Keegan, a level 8 fighter samurai, and I rolled a 9. Mav, yes. Why don't you go next?
Hey, Mav, I play Dosh, a level 8 swashbuckler, and I rolled a 3.
Oh.
Johnny, wrap it up.
This is John playing as Lucius, level 8 sorcerer, and I got a 17.
All right, Dosh, how about them recaps?
I took notes, you sons of bitches. Okay. So we started out with a sweaty pulp who led Marsh away with a bad bluff check. Then Lucius sent a wrecker off between everyone. Everyone ran away from the blast except for Sean. Ravine and Siren got knocked out. Zerix didn't. Forz got blasted too. Shin sets up a fireball under himself next to Lucius. Fight ensues. Marsh tackles Keegan. Forrest handcuffs Ravine and Siren to the barbecue. I managed to trip Shin. Forrest managed to jump right over and grapple Shin. Then I caved his head in. Lucius and I have some real talk. Shin releases some gears. The gears we find out are Mechanus gears, and we need a mantle to use them. Keegan loses his fight as we all watch, and Marshall takes the sword back. Oswald calls his daddy, and we get the week off.
Thinking about that after that episode about just how we had like hero honor going into that fight, but when it came to Keegan's one-on-one fight, we're just, oh, he's got this, he's doing his dual thing. just
respect,
gonna watch
the one versus one.
Right.
I rolled really, I mean, well to start and then badly the last.
Keegan also could have like asked for help at any moment and just didn't.
No, that was at that point. It was a pride thing, and we needed to figure it out. It's a Corlean thing. So he won. He got his sword back. We're all good, right?
No bad.
He did say you were when you were knocked out. I think he told your lifeless corpse that he was. If he ever saw you again, he was going to kill you. So,
oh, okay.
As good as it could be, I guess.
You just okay, wake so up thinking it's all fine. Oh, I'm glad we got that out of our system.
make me cool now. Oh, no, no, we're not being cool? Okay.
Oh, Pulp, definitely, before you all get on the airship and head towards Farthen, Pulp would definitely want his phone back.
Who's got his phone?
I snatched it at the end.
Yeah.
He's recording us, and I was like, I don't want people to see Keegan on the ground bloodied.
I appreciate all that.
Yeah. Can I erase all the stuff on his phone, like the videos he took of us?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll do that and then give him his phone back.
He goes to the trash can and restores files.
It's already in the cloud, you idiot.
What? He doesn't say thank you, but he'll mutter under his breath, fucking douche model. And then drive away from the airport. But you will all get on a ship. I believe you guys were basically planning on leaving right after that fight with Taro.
Yeah, I think we need to just get out of town.
So basically, ride from the quarry straight to the airport.
Are the Joneses like Canadian Mounties, where they'll track you into other countries and stuff? Because we were told not to leave.
We call those Dog the Bounty Hunters. Are we going to have Dog the Bounty Hunter come after us?
Wait, the Mounties can track you into other countries?
Oh yeah, they can go through any jurisdiction.
According to anybody other than them.
That's just as I understand it, that Mounties have the legal ability to chase someone across any border,
like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
They have diplomatic immunity.
On their horse, though.
But yes, Sean, like the Mounties, or as John keeps saying, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Dog the Bounty Hunter. He's almost as bad as Hulk Hogan. He might be worse.
Well, I think Hulk's dead, so.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Forgot about that.
So he's worse by that. Because you gain points when you die.
I mean, Hulk Hogan's final score is set. Dog can still get worse.
Yeah, Hogan's gone.
But yes, the Joneses can come after you.
All right. Is anyone concerned about that?
Yeah, but I'm not going to say anything.
I mean, is there anything we can do about it?
Yeah. You turn me in, I think.
Preemptive strike.
Well, I'm saying this in the response that we're getting on an airship and leaving immediately.
Ah.
And I'm saying there's another thing on top of the other things.
We have a lot of things going on.
Well, we might be able to tie them up.
Legally?
I'm hoping to still have Okani clash on retainer.
And if possible, we might be able to make it on Amon's problem.
Be able to do that. Just kind of see how it unfolds. But I think sticking around is a bad idea.
I mean, I'm the one who called for a pickup, so I'm definitely on team time to go.
Yeah, it's time to get out of here. Plus, I'm not feeling great.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Are we literally, like, fucking Keegan's bleeding out of his face, and we're, like, ready to go through airport security.
Yeah.
To be fair, most of my damage I took was non-lethal.
Yeah, I mean, what, all of you except for Dosh, I think, look probably like hell. I mean, Forrest got exploded less than, an hour before getting to the airport. Keegan got beat into unconsciousness. Lucius is down hit points. Oswald
just got fireballed.
His 8-day bender.
Just that.
So I was thinking, just because the Joneses aren't antagonistic towards us at the moment, but they will be if we leave, right?
Maybe. Didn't somebody say don't leave town?
The Joneses.
The Joneses.
It was in response to the fight in the casino, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not in the loop on that, and I don't think I care even if I was in the loop. Oswald is just done with this. He's like, this is... No, I'm...
I get where you're coming from. I feel like better to not get detained, and we'd just be safer in our country. And hopefully we can sort it out with our lawyers.
I also don't know what we would be staying for at this point.
So that we don't get arrested by the Joneses in the future.
Feels like future our problem.
Yeah. The solution right now is to talk to the police.
Right.
I mean, it's all over something that happened in Keegan's dad's casino, so I assume that Keegan's dad is going to resolve this more or less favorably for us.
Sure. I'm not entirely sure where his head is at right now, but...
So, yeah, no, I have no reason to stay in Golden City anymore.
We got a dungeon crawl to get to.
We do have a dungeon crawl to get to.
If y'all want to go straight to dungeon crawl, good luck. I'll see you in a week.
We're not going straight to dungeon crawl.
No, we're following you farther. Or at least I am. I have to go. I can get answers there.
Answers about what?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes.
The sword.
But yeah, you'll be able to make it through airport security without too much of a hassle, as you will load up on a ship that'll take a few days to get over to Farthen. But you will all have downtime on the ship. Dosh, you would see at the end of your book, as you'd be able to open it up. Now, the parts that contain people you don't remember, of course, disappear, but you remember the rest of the book, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'd read the part where, eventually, Dosh does go to meet Sprite. Sprite clears the room out so they can have a talk, all of which is a setup for Envy to be able to jump creativity in front of Sprite. The book ends with Envy becoming Autumnal's Malice.
This is like the alternate reality, basically, what would have happened had we been in the other timeline.
Correct.
But Dosh doesn't know that. That's, I guess, meta. So Dosh just is reading like a different story about Dosh now.
Yeah, I mean, Dosh would definitely be like, all of this is me up until we went to this casino, and then the whole story changes.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't remember any of this, and I don't remember this stuff. What a weird ending to a book that mimics my life, mostly.
So does the book, it literally ends because I'm dead at that point in that book, right?
Correct.
So it doesn't follow, okay.
This it's over.
What's that?
Sorry, it's over. And strong it's over.
So that means the story ends for that section of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Does it follow Autumnal's Malice at all, or is that it?
It does not. The end.
The end. Okay. I'm going to ponder this for a minute.
While you were pondering that, on the ship here, you'd see on the news that a Monair facility on Basia is currently under repairs after a prism engaged with a unique Dosh model, resulting in deaths of several employees. You can see some talking heads on the news that are discussing about the idea of bringing back the Jequan Accords. If constructed beings are attempting to control lives, or dare I say, subjugate Zelenites, we have a right to defend ourselves. But it will then go back to more benign news, covering new advancements in trade technology coming out of God's Face and with Vith Industries. There would be a bit of talk on... they would have some highlights of Red Bandana terrorists attempted to interrupt the meeting of the Big Ten, but was swiftly dealt with by Core Junction Arbiters. They have kind of like shaky, various kind of, shaky HCOM cameras that show a crowd from like kind of behind where you hear some people yelling before a person gets kind of lifted up in a golden bubble into the air, and then they explode inside the bubble. The explosion does not go outside of it, as the two floating golden arbiters from Core Junction collapse the bubble, getting rid of both the, well, evidence and body. But as you're seeing kind of the clips from this amongst the background, further from where the Red Madonna terrorist went off, you would see Typh Rayland, you see Jalari Vast, Elmond Hashnerfell, Nyx, Armidius Sky. Now, a lot of these ones you don't necessarily recognize the names, but there are a few there that look very familiar, especially to Lucius. There's a halfling that stands out, an Illican banker as well. When you're looking at them, Lucius, you remember seeing these people on Estelle Del Rose's desk. The picture of her with, like, Madame Sengari and the other ones?
Yeah.
But looks like they are part of the Big Ten. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, you recognize three of them. Jalari Vast as well. Corlian. So the Corlian, the Illican, and the Halfling were all on that, on Estelle's desk. And you were stealing the cannonball, sure, shot puts.
Right.
So long ago.
Yeah. It's weird who she was, like, communicating with, I guess. So we've got these guys, but, like, didn't she also gift those swords to Toger Crow's father, Vincilian, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, what is her network?
Yeah, at this point, seems it may have just been the wealthy, but she's passed now.
Keep that in my mind. I guess, no, if we're... What is the setting, I guess? Are we, like, hanging out watching TV in a cafe or something on this all together?
I mean, your guys' call. I figure you're on the ship. At some point, you know, news would be playing on the background. Kind of like taking the ferry.
Yeah.
Right? There'd be a cafe area. There's an upper area where you can be outside and kind of look over the edge and see the fields around Nugget and the mountainside as you head towards Farthen and stuff like that. But you guys can be wherever you want to be on the ship or if you want to be together.
I'll be in what I envision a cafe space, kind of with the news in the background, but I'd be seeing that. Is there anybody else that would be in the same area as me, maybe hanging out?
I'd probably be with you. Yeah, I'd probably be with you, but I'd be like focusing on my own thing. Like, just with you guys, but not actively engaged with you guys.
All right.
Reading my book.
I know Keegan wasn't there, but as we're seeing that, I'd speak up and say, I know those guys. I've seen them before.
Yeah?
I would point them out. Yeah, Destelle Rose's... what's her... Can you pop her name back on? I cannot seem to pronounce her name. Thank you. Did I just go for Destelle L. Rose or something? I saw those people in the picture as if they were close to Estelle back during that that party we crashed. I didn't think they were that prominent figures at the time.
Can you remind Dash who Estelle Rose was? Del Rose was?
Yeah, remember when you were when you left the campaign and went off with the red bandanas?
Mm-hmm.
We were at her mansion for a party, and she's kind of like a rich person in the Dargeth Empire that. Seem to have influence throughout houses and such.
You made up the company Dosh Protection Services?
Oh, that's right.
It was that airship heist.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that on the news.
This is like Jack Sparrow having his crimes read.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe she was more intertwined in all this stuff than we knew?
Yeah, maybe. I would say let's... Keep it in your mind, like maybe there was more to her, and maybe digging into her past might give us some information. Maybe, I don't know.
We still have the
go on
those files that we got from the not the Seekers, but the
Justicar
files.
Yeah, does she pop up in theirs?
Sure, she does.
Mm-hmm. Looking at Estelle Del Rose, she does show up in the Justicar files as a Green Rook class. Designation. She's listed as an egophage.
Oof, that sounds cool as shit.
Yeah, I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, same.
I don't either. I was going to ask, but...
Does the notes have, like, a glossary? What is egophage?
Oh, yeah. Is there an asterisk on that? Tells us what it is?
Well, I remember when we were looking at it before that Rook class was pretty powerful, whatever that means. But...
An egophage is a creature that consumes emotions... In much the similar way of like how a vampire consumes blood.
I was just thinking what we do in the shadows.
Looks like Estelle Rose specifically was focused on attention.
Can you jog my memory? How did she die again?
Her mansion was burned down.
Right.
During the Arfari riots. Using the Justicar files, you can find out that basically a hit was placed on her by a third party.
Okay. I was about to say, it seems unlikely that the Rook class... character here would die in a riot like that in a fire. Do we know who put the hit out?
It doesn't list it in there, basically. Okay. It's just, yeah, treated as a lower tier, something that the Justicari were concerned with.
Who wanted us to go after Jolari fast again?
That was the Kabuto Syndicate for releasing my father.
Okay. You think they might be behind it? Because they wanted a hit on Jolari and they also hit They also may have hit Estelle.
Yeah, it could be the case. Boris is here then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say.
Now, sucker.
He just pops up behind the the counter and starts pouring you a cup of coffee.
I like to we constantly have times like that where it's just like, actually, I was, he's dropping.
Yes. The exposition in a little cat bowl that you set down, all of a sudden. Force just springs up. Yeah, I'm here. I'm eating some.
Hey, what do you think, Force? I almost want to say if there's no body, then maybe there's no death. Mm. Maybe they're still around.
Is this about you not being able to come to grips with your parents?
Well, I wasn't thinking about that.
God damn it, Forrest, way to bring the boat ride down. Hey Oswald, aren't you an orphan too? Hey guys, I don't have parents either. What the hell?
We're all Batmans.
Well, yeah. Keegan wanted to get on it so bad he changed time.
Yeah, if there was no body found, then theoretically.
There was a body found for.
There was, yeah.
But if she was like a creature, could just been a shell or something, right? Like, we don't know anything about these things. But it doesn't really change anything if she is alive, right? Like,
no, I'm what I'm curious about, though, is that if we dig into her history, could we find out more about these guys that seem to be suddenly popping up as prominent people?
Using the Justicary files, Madame Sangari is listed as deceased, but she was a Sangrophage, a standard vampire. You'd see Bagda Sunspot, which is the halfling you saw in there, is a Chronophage.
Okay.
She does not have a Rook class designation, as like Rook class implies extra planar. So far, only Estelle did, but it does put down that Bagda is a marked as a yellow threat. But a Chronophage is one who can consume time. Jalari Vast, the Corlean businessman, is listed as an Aetherphage, also a yellow designation. An Aetherphage is one who consumes magic.
This is that council, right?
This all the Big Ten guys?
So these are three of the members of the Big Ten.
That were associated with Estelle.
Correct.
At least they were in that picture.
Estelle had the picture of the six of them on there. Sangari, Del Rose, Abin Hasid, Bagda Sunspot, Jalari Vast, and Koris Kaza. Koris Kaza is listed in there as both orange and as a bishop class threat, as the Illican is listed as an Omniphage.
That's like everything, right?
Correct. Capable of consuming anything.
Great, now they're hanging out with Typh.
Yeah, they're hanging out with Typh, but they're also hanging out with like the Lord of Core Junction, the head of Balanced Engineering, one of the high-end Corlean, Avila stockbrokers, as well as a supplier from the Scorn Moon, and high-end Dargeth investors.
Okay, do any of these guys pop up in the Justicary files? Some kind of monster?
Elmad Hashnerfell shows up as a queen class designation, as does Nyx show up as a knight class designation.
What do those represent?
Knight class is extraplanar in nature, outside a controllable area, and has significant unknowns. A queen class is extraplanar in nature and benign.
And the Rook is just extraplanar, or is there extra to that too?
Extraplanar, there are known counters, or it's able to be controlled.
Okay. Cool, thank you.
Yeah.
Fours, you would get the text while you're all hanging out from Damin that just says, "What the hell, kid?"
How far out of town was the quarry?
About an hour out.
Yeah, I guess I'd text back. Our timeline got moved up, and I didn't have time to call you.
Well, you'd see the dots appear before disappearing, before reappearing, and Dama would ask, "So you decided to come to Golden and kill my boss?"
I'll just drop some question marks.
The dots that appear go away before they come back with a whatever.
Okay. Hang on, I'm thinking how I want to respond to that, but I guess I'm not going to text back right away, but I'm just still sitting at the table.
Sure, yeah. Oswald, the boat feels actually pretty comfortable. Not only is the sunlight good up top, the boats have limited corners.
Makes sense. A lot of curved surfaces.
Correct.
Yeah, probably the first thing that I did when we got on the boat is I just found a cabin and like went to sleep. I'm still exhausted. I got woken up by Forrest to go help kill a guy on no notice. Like,
get in, we're going killing.
Hey, little guy, we're at Grandma's house. Put on your murder shoes.
which is a completely different attitude than a few episodes ago. We're like, maybe we shouldn't kill this guy.
So yeah, at some point, once I'm awake and thinking a little more clearly, I would texted Jasper just to let her know that I'm on the way to Farthen and that I guess earlier than I expected, so I can meet up with Norvin there.
Yeah, by the time you wake up after Fours and everybody's kind of been looking over Justicary files, when you wake up later, yeah, Yasrud. All right, Skreez and Farthen, I'll send you the address for his yurt. The city's been crazy. I don't know if you've seen the news.
I haven't. I will dot, 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 and I'll, like, flip over to, like, start looking at the news on my HCOM. Which is probably going to be, like, the shitty, like, Amon app. Like, it's going to be Amon-controlled news, because that's what's on my phone.
Good thing you have an app, because then you're getting inside the Empire news, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will send you a thing here.
Ooh, I get secrets. Or maybe just a lot of text. It's probably just a lot of text.
It's a voice message you can listen to.
Oh, fun.
Checking the app, it has highlights of the temporary takeover of the Snow Days studio.
Huh.
Checking the news here, you'd see that several large explosions in the city of Duskbanter have gone off, damaged important infrastructure, and critical support buildings. It's still being Amon controlled, of course, means that it's not revealing as much.
Mm-hmm.
APD is on the scene now, restoring order.
Huh. I'm not sure that I would react to any of that, honestly. Like, that's a whole lot of, like, okay, shit's going weird and back home. I'm not sure that I'm interested in, like, investigating and digging into it and trying to make it my problem right now, you know?
100%, totally fair. These are just things that are happening.
Yep. And, you know, I can read between the lines enough to know it's like, okay, there's stuff about these news items that I'm not hearing in the news. You know, there's clearly more to it. I just don't know what it is. So I guess I'll respond back to Jasper and say, I haven't heard about any of that. Are you guys doing okay?
Xavier paid for additional defenses around the generator that we're at.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I guess I'll say, all right, I guess I'll let you know when I get close to Farthen and give Cobbler some scritches for me. Over.
Yeah, you'll get a will-do cat emoji. Over.
And I'll wander over to the cafe to find some food.
So going through my book, I specifically want to go from the start, however long this takes, and try to find where it feels like things changed. I know you said it was like at the casino, but I feel like it'd take Dosh some time to get to that point, to get to the, yeah.
It all goes kind of sideways once you arrive in Golden. Okay. This is where, like, the story starts to get really kind of out there, because between names that you forget, like, it's some guy asked us to go into his basement, and then something happened, and we came out of the empty basement to no guy, and then the sheriff's there, and then Ernest is there.
Does the books talk about Keegan using the sword to kill the Time Flayer? No, the Time Flayer didn't die from the sword.
Correct. No, I didn't kill the Time Flayer. I killed Justin.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it definitely describes Olamanth.
Okay.
And Olamanth's death and the passing of the blade to Keegan.
Okay. I feel like it's enough for Dosh to ask some questions when he feels like it. Like, what happened here? But I got that book in Golden. We got it at the secret library with Lucius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the adventure librarians.
Yeah. So I probably mentioned it to Lucius first, as we're sitting there, listening to the news and probably eating stale airship food.
Drinking coffee and popping aspirin.
Yeah. Like, the book was pretty accurate of everything that's happened in my life up until shortly after I got it. Do you think the book is a problem? I say, Lucius, the book is ended. I die in the end of this book.
Well, calm down. You're not dead.
Well, I know.
But I get you. It is a little bit odd.
I'm only 3 years old. I haven't lived a lot of life yet.
Calm down. You're fine. I'm talking to you.
Can I see it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll hand it over.
It's magic, right?
Supposedly. It wrote itself as we traveled. That's more a question for Jeff.
It is.
And I guess I'll flip to what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing the same thing.
Correct, yeah.
That's odd. That can't be how that happened. So is there anything in understanding this book that would make it seem like it's, I don't know, something like divination or something like illusion that could make it be misleading? Or does that make sense?
Go ahead and roll me a spellcraft.
That makes sense. It starts with an S, right? Okay. I got a total of 34.
You can definitely read, or what? With your detect magic going, you can definitely tell that divination heavily is incorporated into this book, but there's no illusion or transmutation or anything else that would suggest that it's either misleading or intentionally giving false information.
Right. So yeah, you can see, like, as I'm looking through this book, that I'm getting, like, more and more concerned face, and, like, I'll look back up at you and say, I don't think that this book is being misleading at all. At least it doesn't think that this is... I don't know what this is.
Yeah, I know.
Because I was right there with you the entire time.
I know. I'm like, it's weird because when you look away from the book, a lot of it falls out of my head. Does that make sense? Does that happen to you?
I mean, I'll try to experience what he's talking about.
I mean, yeah, if you close the book, it only takes a few moments before you don't quite remember what part he's talking about.
I'll look perplexed and say it's like a dream that where you just eventually don't even remember what it was about in the beginning.
Yeah, you catch like glimpses of it and then it's gone. But it's so vivid when you're reading it.
Yeah, I couldn't even say what I just read.
I want to try something. I want to find a pen and, like, while I'm reading the book, write what's in the book. Just for, like, a couple, like, a paragraph or so.
Okay.
And see if it transfers over, if it's just blur or...
Yeah, I mean, you're able to write everything in the paragraph with the exception of that which has been erased.
Okay.
Whether you mean to or not, it effectively...
Like, smeared or...
No, what is it? You cannot see those words... But Keegan can. Like, if you hold it up, he can see the whole paragraph.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, my pen must have ran out of ink in this spot.
Okay.
I'm going to pour some hot sauce in my coffee.
Yeah, I'll actually, because Keegan has the blade. Like, he's carrying the time blade. I'll ask him if you can read this. Does this happen to you too?
I'll look over the book, see all the writings. No, I see everything. Something happened, guys.
I'll sit back and fold my arms and just please explain.
I'm gonna say, I don't judge. I did some shit.
So, just before, oh man, there was a time shift at the casino.
Could there have been a time shift?
I killed somebody with the blade, and it erased him from time.
Have a brief glimpse of a memory of going, ah, fuck.
And since Olamanth died, and I had the sword, I'm aware of both timelines, is that right?
You remember that which was forgotten.
I remember which, that, yeah. I remember what we were doing before we're at now.
I'll start to look like my head hurts and say, Taro Shin said that when he first contacted me, that something about how he was supposed to meet somebody that nobody can remember anymore.
His name was Justin. He owned the casino that my dad now owns.
I get up, and I'm going to give Keegan the biggest hug, awkward hug, that a guy with six arms can, or four arms can do. Because if you didn't do that, I wouldn't be alive right now.
I will hug Dosh back. There's a lot in my head. I haven't known how to bring this up.
What you guys, though, would have heard is Ataro was going to my father's casino.
Oh, okay.
Because he same can't say Justin.
Yeah.
Or he can say it. You guys cannot hear that.
Awesome.
Oh. I'm going to say his name was...
Yeah.
So we're still quite confused then, looking at you like we're idiots.
Oh, do I know they're having trouble hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it confusing like no, there's somebody that you forgot. He knows your dad. Like, we're just not, like, able to put, like, two and two together kind of thing? Or is it just us completely baffled?
All of you, I think, could tell that something is changing, mm-hmm. right? Because Keegan is saying something to you in a way that sounds like he makes sense until he says it, and then it shifts, right? The way you hear it is... Yeah, and Taro was talking about somebody nobody else could remember. Keegan's dad. And you're like, well, we all know Keegan's dad. Like, what?
Well, he said he used the blade. We kind of know what the blade does, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But so when he says, like, his name was Justin, he ran the casino, your side of it is that person's been erased. So you'd be like, the casino your dad owns? Kind of thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Justin is a non-entity and a non-existent concept to you.
If I say there was a dude that was before my dad?
Yep, that works.
Without saying his name?
Perfectly fine.
Okay, so there was a dude that owned the casino before my dad that I killed. He doesn't exist, and now my dad owns the thing.
As you killed and him with the blade?
Yes.
I think I'm starting to see what you're putting down.
See, we've had a lot going on. I didn't know how to bring it up.
How could you possibly know how to bring it up? You can't even physically bring it up, right? We have to skirt around it.
Thinking maybe Farthen might have some answers or help with their timey-wimey, right? That we were doing the museum and duel heist.
Yeah, I guess I see why you're going to Farthen now. I thought, I guess for all of us, though, starting to see how bad Oswald has gotten.
He's over there trying to drink coffee with claws. Shaking because he hasn't slept, really.
No, I fixed my claws. I went to the Tim's to have my body fixed.
Sorry, I forgot you did that.
I'm probably over in the galley, like, looking, like, obnoxiously looking for, like, the biggest bowl I can find so that I could just fill it with, like, a box and a half of cereal and then just, like, to the brim with chocolate milk.
Oh. That hurts my insides.
Gonna be my kind of cereal too. Oops, all olives.
Oops, all olives and chocolate milk.
I mean, it's not like I can taste it anyway.
Excellent mouthfeel. Or was it exquisite mouthfeel? So, I would like to see what we can't do to try to dive into what exactly is the extent of Oswald's going through and try to save him from this. This is completely out of hand.
I agree.
So I'll wander over and sit down at your table. What's going on, guys? Morning. I'll start shoveling cereal in my mouth.
You look like you're feeling better.
I'll shrug. I slept. That helped.
You hanging off the side of the boat?
No, it's curvy and soft enough in here. And I don't know. Good memories? All that kind of helps. Not a sure thing, but, you know, yeah. How are you guys doing?
Like, everyone's just kind of beat up.
What, Keegan's face is starting to look less swollen?
Yeah, get nice.
Yeah, we're all just kind of figuring some things out. I'm a little bit fuzzy, Oswald. When did this start with you? As I look over kind of like the features that are those features present anymore, like the claws and all that? Like, nope. I thought for a second they bled back through.
They did.
All right.
Yeah, but I'm back to classic Oswald at this point.
Right. So then I could say, you look normal now, but you aren't.
Yeah, there's still influence. Far Realm still got a hold of part of me, I guess. It started... try to look back and see exactly what mission
episode
it was.
Episode one.
No, it started all the way back with Ranger Sands.
It was supposed to be a one-shot campaign.
It was before Ranger Sands. It was
where we cure Oswald's disease. Episode one, we were supposed to do it. That was 3 years ago.
So, you remember those two Ember Wolves that weren't Ember Wolves?
I do, yeah. Like,
yeah, and we traced him back to that warehouse district, and I went in because I was scouting, and then I got attacked from above, and I got out of there, but, you know, it bit me, and after that I started getting, like, weird stuff happening on my arm.
Like,
I think
hunter.
That was the start of it, because that was, I'm pretty sure those Emberwolves had some Far Realm influence. I think that's how they were changed.
You got bit by the Embernathy.
Yeah.
Not the Ember Wolves.
And ever since then, it's just been like little bits and pieces here and there that have made it worse. I started to feel like I could like move between spaces. That was fairly early on, and it seemed like that would be a pretty useful thing to do. And so I, you know, tried practicing at it and, you know, got okay at it. But then one time when I was doing it, I was stuck, I guess, in the Far Realm. And then I met Tyndalos, and that was really scary. And it's been kind of downhill since then.
Is Tyndalos like Santa Claus, like we'd know who that is?
He is not like Santa Claus. You do not know who that is.
Again, knowledge, religion, or knowledge of...
religion or planes?
I'm not very good at either of those, but I'd be curious. I'll try to give it a shot. Total of 18.
Yeah,
to 18. The little human.
Why, he's just a giant space human. sorry, it's an 18. Tyndalos, at least the words coming out of Oswald's mouth stay in your mind.
It sticks to the corners, though. It's weird.
Scatters when you shine a flashlight on it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're not just here for you. We're going to make this right. We're going to make it better. That needs to start now. So
that's why I'm going to Farthen.
All right.
Jasper has a line on a scientist, I guess, who thinks that he's got some understanding about how to maybe get this under control. I've been doing what I can as well whenever I have some free time to try and figure out how to, I don't know, make it go away or be able to control it or mitigate its impact or its danger to me or others. Like, I don't know what can be done, but I'm trying a lot of different things. But, you know, it's still there. And I kind of doubt it's ever going to fully go away. So it's probably going to be something like being able to, I don't know, keep it from taking control. And, you know, also not like coming out and hurting people I care about.
When those monsters came out, they were after, it seemed like, everybody. Like, a lot of people died. were they after you? Could they hurt you?
I'll look
just the people
like
around you.
Bad and defeated, because like I don't really know the details of what was going on at that time, because I was unconscious. So like I think this might be the first time that you guys have been up front with me that people died.
All right.
I don't know if they're after me exactly. They want me to release them. They want me to open a gate so they can get out of the Far Realm and come here, I guess. And I know that opening the gate has something to do with the tower in Farthen, which I am not intending to do. I want nothing to do with opening that gate. I want to stay away from that tower. But the guy I want to meet, he's in Farthen, so that's why I'm going there. But yeah, they keep chasing me because they want me to... They think I'm the one who can do it. They think I'm the one who can open the gate. But there was also writings about like that kind of thing with the... who is that squad that Forrest was getting tangled up with?
The ex-gargoyles?
Yeah, the ex-gargoyles, yes. When we were trying to recover Forza's drone from the ex-gargoyles facility or whatever, there was writings or scrawlings or whatever inside that were about opening the gate and were definitely part of what Tyndalos and the Hounds are trying to do. I didn't really recognize it at the time, but now it's pretty clear. So somebody in that building at some point had some kind of Tyndalos influence over them. So, sorry, that's not what you asked, Lucius. You asked if they were chasing me or if they were going after just anybody.
Well, I'm glad you went on that tangent, though, because that's... If we're not finding answers here, then maybe we're going to have to find answers from them.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen any of those ex-gargoyle guys since then. I'm not even sure if I ever actually saw any of them in person myself. Yeah, I don't think I did. I was just... Forrest got me to help out looking for the drone. I think that's about the only intersect point I had. The Hounds are dangerous to everybody when they come out. I don't know if they especially want to go after me or if I'm just like the conduit. But if they're around, it doesn't seem like they care much who they go after. But they won't chase you forever. We found that out the last time we were at Farthen, and the Hounds came out when we were getting the box. Either they get tired or they don't want to get too far away from like their doorway back home or something like that.
I guess, yeah, the reason I asked in the first place was because when you woke up, you were terrified. And this is the first time I'd experienced this happening. So,
yeah. While you guys were dealing with the Hounds, I was, I guess, in a memory. I think it was a real memory, but the Hounds ended up being in the memory. Like, it all kind of turned sideways. And basically everybody I knew was starting to get consumed by Tyndalos and the hounds. And that's when I woke up. And you guys all looked like you'd been torn up by hounds. Like, it looked like... I wasn't even sure, like, had I actually woken up? Which part was the dream, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why after the fight in the casino, I know you were trying to get me someplace where I could, like, sleep in safety, but I just needed to get away from everybody in case they came back. I didn't want to risk anybody else getting hurt.
Oh, yeah, I understand that now. And I guess I'll get up and, like, kind of put my hand on your shoulder and say somehow we're going to make this right. I'm going to go out for a breath of air.
Yeah, I'll nod and just sit for a while.
Yeah, heading up on top, Lucius, you would get a text from Matilda asking you to call her when you get a chance.
I will text a couple of things so that the ... show up and let that just linger, and I'm going to call Okani Clash.
Okani will... Is this Lucius?
This is Lucius.
Hey, I got one.
Jokes aside, we are leaving and heading back towards Dargeth Empire now. Let's just say things didn't go very well with Taro Shin, and just making sure that our contract is good and that you've received my payment. I intend on keeping you on as retainer.
Well, Mr. Estebold, you and your crew have definitely definitely made a fair amount of work for me to do, and you've left the city in quite a state. The Jones are on high alert, but I will delay them as much as I can.
I don't know exactly what a good amount of, like, money would be, like, for this, but I imagine that with the luck that I had and winning the millions of dollars, that I'm going to, like double their fee.
She will make it very clear that this money will go quite a ways, but you may need to pay more later.
That's understood.
There are a lot of parties interested in you and your crew. Part of your consulting fee is because I'm going to have to speak with the president here.
Now people want to do the research.
I'll have a little bit of a smile and just like, glad I'm not dealing with this.
You're just trying to get your color code bumped up in the
right
in the danger files.
Gotta get that rook class.
But I will alert you to anything that I deem vital for you to know, Lucius. Is that all right?
I appreciate it. Glad that we've hired the best.
No, absolutely. Quite a ways from drunken dueling on Estelle's back patio.
Wait, they remember us from that?
Well, you guys were there and...
We were like posing as like the staff during that time, right?
No. Fors was in dress.
What was his name? What was the guy's name we brought? He was like a celebrity. We made up Fors into a celebrity, right?
Jake Palace?
Oh, yeah, Jake Palace.
Jake Palace was that...
was at the house party.
Yeah.
Was it the Avori party?
Well, because it wasn't Estelle's that we dueled, me and her. That was
No. That was Vincilian Crow where you dueled her.
Yeah.
But she was at the party with Estelle Del Rose where Delam got killed.
Mm. Oh.
But we showed up as Dosh Protections.
Yeah.
So I guess, my memory's bad on that one. I thought for some reason we showed up dressed up like we were part of the...
No, you guys came in as Dosh Protection Services, but what? Oswald was around the outside. Fors was not... For being the protective services that you were, there was a lot more... You guys focused a lot on the areas where you were at. It's not quite where she ran into you, right?
Okay.
I think you guys saw Okani there, but also naming it Dosh Protection Services, and now she's met Dosh. makes for a pretty straightforward line.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll be happy to end that conversation there.
Yeah.
And then I'll be ready to call Matilda if you want to swap to somebody else or continue on with me.
Down below, but Fors, Oswald, and Dosh as you're, I guess, around the table, hanging out. You would see the news come on as it brings up that violence in Duskbanter escalates as terrorist groups and opposing gangs take over the city, and they would play a clip of what they have so far from earlier this morning, or basically late last night, in Dust Banter, following the supposed death of one of the cast of Snow Days.
We interrupt your broadcast for an important message from me, you know, Shin, to Amon, and more importantly, Mr. Typh. The disruptions you have felt are what I alone can do with a ragtag crew. But you took it too far. So I am here now to advise the public and you, Mr. Typh. The whole of the Kabuto Syndicate have broken our state of neutrality and entered your house war. It seems we must remind you, the snake will always bite back. And then, for the first time ever, Yuno will cast Venomous Smirk without saying the spell as his eyes turn into slitted poison green snake eyes and smile widens, exposing razor sharp incisors dripping with venom before the transmission is ended.
You'd see the Chiron at the bottom, Dash. You'd see as it changes from words to 01662407676. And it would say, pray that control finds you before I do. You've taken my hope.
Okay. Only Dash sees that?
No, you would all see that pass at the bottom, though doesn't necessarily mean anything to you.
Right.
But you would see it, right? It's not hidden.
And I know control is at the Tower Optics main building, right?
Correct.
My guess is that's Envy. Was Envy the one I already fought?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You actually wouldn't think this is Envy.
Oh. So it makes sense to be Vengeance, too, if he's pissed.
You'd actually think this is Fear.
Fear? Oh, he's getting some courage.
But as you guys are getting closer to Farthen, more people are kind of coming up above, because a lot of people like to see kind of the time echo effect as you approach the Farthen Valley. It's not uncommon to see people kind of propose, or they set themselves up in kind of fun ways, because as they approach the valley, they can see basically other variants of the boat. Think of them like heat mirages. They're not real, but people like to pretend they're different timelines, of which that they're, I'm finding true love in all of them kind of thing, right? So people are about. Lucius, you'd start to notice as you are getting close to Farthen, more people coming up above. Dosh, you would see on another billboard a similar message kind of broadcast to you, though this one you do feel is probably Envy. The advertisement on the wall here of the inside of the ship that has Travel Cat kind of looking out at the Hoon Vastwood. The speech bubble coming from Travel Cat would shift over to displaying those series of numbers, the 01662407676, before it would say, I didn't know you had it in you. In the end, it's just more for me to take.
How are these guys doing all this? I want to learn this power. Can I send messages back to the TV?
You have the poke feature.
Yeah. Send back boobs on a calculator.
Keegan, if you try to call or reach out to your father, it would say that that line has been disconnected.
I was just going to say I'm going to try and reach out to my dad, but fantastic. Oswald, quick, give me your phone.
Why?
My dad's blocked my number. I need to try a different number.
I don't want to go through the hassle of setting up a new phone.
Take mine. I'll hand it over. If you get a weird text from somebody talking about, I don't know, death or whatever, just ignore it.
I'm trying to solve, like, Tindalos coming after us, and I kind of need to be able to get a hold of people. I need my phone to not break right now.
I'm not going to... I can't promise I won't break your phone, but thank you, Dosh.
I don't actually know about that. I'm just like, here, take my phone. Smashes it to bits.
Thanks, Dosh. Yeah, I'll try calling him from Dosh's phone.
Yeah, there would be a, what, kind of, hello? Who is this?
Mesa?
Keegan.
You blocked me.
Yes, and I think with good reason. So you're a black bagger for Amon? You finally get your assassin license or something?
No, we're just in a bad spot.
I hope you'll forgive me for not extending more sympathies. I'm currently also in a hard spot. I know I wasn't around, taking care of the casino after your mother passed, and maybe I should have spent more time with you. But this is a hell of a way to show it, Keegan. Without these investors, Ark is going to buy my casino, and I will lose everything that I have worked for. I wish I knew why you did this to me, but I think it's easiest for now to say goodbye. And he will hang up.
I will hand the phone back to Dosh.
Yeah, thanks.
And go look at the... I'll look at the time dilations.
So, Lucius, yeah, up above, you were going to call Matilda?
Yeah, I'll find myself a little bit of space as people are coming up. And take a deep breath and, yeah, finally dial.
It's early and Matilda would answer with, are you okay, Lucius?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Oh, good, good. So why the hell do you have so much money in your account?
That's what you care about right now.
You're not here, and I can't get a hold of Xavier.
You can't get a hold of Xavier?
Yeah, he's been answering his calls for the last couple days. Whatever the hell happened over the last day and a half, the First National Bank of Amon has been hit. I take care of all of yours and mine and Xavier's accounts, so it never really went to where it was supposed to. It went to Vancian Investments. I'm just wondering why I have so much money in here. Lucius? Lucius, why are you rich?
Call me lucky.
You could hear the long pause before she's like, I will not.
Yeah, I legitimately won a bet.
Huh.
While on my stint here in Golden.
Okay.
And now I'm a multimillionaire.
I've noticed. Xavier isn't with you, is he?
No, he's not, and I'm concerned. I just saw the news.
It's been rough here. Things all over the city are getting pretty bad.
Xavier was associated with Yuno, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Is? I'm going to level with you. We just killed Yuno's father, the head of the Kabuto Syndicate.
You can tell you put her on a back foot is like she'll go quiet on her side? Who did you kill?
Yeah, pay attention. We killed him. Taro Shin. It was that or base whatever type was going to do to me and everybody else. So we did what we had to do while we were out here in Golden. And now I'm very concerned about Xavier.
Okay, well, I'll let you know if I get a hold of him. Maybe Dez and I will go check on him.
Yeah, please do. Until then, I think that we're safe per our contract, per my contract with Typh and being part of Amon. But it's rocky. I've got one more obligation.
All right, well, just, I guess, be safe? Whatever that... Yeah. Means in your line of work now?
Yeah, apparently so. What does this banking situation mean for you, though? Are you the bank?
Yeah, she lets out like that annoyed sigh that you know so well. She's like, well, it looks like my shell company's a real company now. So I guess I have a job. I have a bank to run.
Yeah, I'll be at a loss for words on that. I'm not heading back yet. It's going to be a bit, maybe a week.
Okay, where are you going?
I'm going to Farthen.
Oh, don't they not like you there? Didn't you ruin some rich guy's birthday party?
Yeah, I don't do well at hanging low, but I'll figure it out.
She would pause for a bit, as you can probably tell she's getting ready to hang up. But it's, leaving enough pause in kind of a polite way, right? Like, it's not your usual angry hang up. It's more like, okay, I think we're done.
Right.
Thanks for the information. Kind of click.
Right. Well, I'll stop it before the click, and I'll just say, Matilda, stay safe. And then I'll hang up. Click. Winning.
But the airship will slowly approach Farthen's Valley as the people come out and cheer and celebrate. As you do see a few couples propose, enjoying seeing the time echoes that are created. As you approach, you'll land in Farthen. It's now the start of autumn. Not that it matters so much here. You can see the snow-covered trees next to the midsummer growth. The Tesfred Towers that Oswald knows so well.
Mm.
The one in perpetual shadow of the other, as it sits in the middle of the valley with the city growing around the outside. You guys will land at a familiar airport, passing by the various shops as you exit into the city. You'd see an advertisement for a new rival drink to Punch Junction called Hitbox. HITBAWKS.
Is there a bird on it? Like fight chicken or something.
It's a rooster with boxing gloves.
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably a cockatrice, isn't it?
But you have the address for Professor Scree's yurt. You'll be able to grab a large cab van for all of you and head that direction.
Yeah, I'm still not clear on why we're all going to the yurt.
Because we're here to support and help you.
Okay.
You're like, goodbye, guys. I gotta go do this thing. We're coming with you. Oh, okay.
It's like, I guess I'll cancel my Uber and get an Uber XL.
And we're just gonna let you go off alone with your "if I fall asleep, invisible hound came out and kill everybody." We're just
Oswald over here. I don't understand what you guys are following me. Because you're a narcoleptic? That is a new problem. You're a small child hopped up on fucking olives and chocolate milk, and anytime you fall asleep, you kill everyone around you. No, you don't get to go by yourself.
All right, I guess we all pile into the big cab and head to the yurt. I don't have anything I want to do in Farthen, so.
You guys know, never trust a man who lives in the yurt, so go in there skeptical.
Yeah, I've been told that he doesn't like technology. I don't know if that extends all the way to androids or not, but we'll find out. He's probably also pretty eccentric, honestly. I mean, you kind of have to be end up being the kind of person he is, or at least what I hear about him. But supposedly he's an expert on timey-wimey nonsense and Far Realm stuff, and maybe Tyndalos as well. He's who Jasper could dig up, so.
He might be a very good person for us to talk to.
I hope so.
As we get to the end of the session then, as you pull up to the yurt, see the tall Corlian, as he would say,
"Welcome, welcome, welcome!"
And that is where we will end the session. But a couple things. I think this is our 100th episode of the main storyline, so that's pretty cool.
Whoa.
Nice.
And then we'll start on... What was that, Sean?
That time flies.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And you will all level.
Whoa.
You guys don't even know how cool I'm going to be at level 6.
Then I will be a level 9.
Thanks for listening. Like, rate, review, you know the stuff, do the things. Our intro was Monolithic. Our outro was Consequences. You also heard Escape, Sleepwalking, and Laissez-Faire, all by Nylor. Sound effects by Pixabay, and we are done with the Golden Arc as we move on to the next one. Thanks again, and I hope you're doing okay. Alright. Bye-bye.